"I'm going to count to three," says the soldier. Svetlana Martsinkovska meets his gaze with her small, bright, grey-green eyes. Just a kid, standing in her courtyard in his army uniform, pointing a gun at her soft 59-year-old stomach. "Good God," she sighs. Svetlana glances over at Zhulik, the angrier of her two dogs, who's snarling on his back legs and pulling against his chain. Her thumb moves instinctively to stroke the calluses on her right hand. Svetlana is inclined to argue with the soldiers. Decades of dealing with her husband, Petya, and her son, Misha, have left her with a short fuse. They're a lazy pair, often drunk, squabbling with their friends and looking for a bottle. Slobs, she calls them almost daily, with a snort and a roll of her eyes. And they nod and smile apologetically, knowing she's the boss of this small, chaotic, hand-to-mouth household, tethered to a gentle hillside in a quiet, not quite forgotten corner of southern Ukraine. But now these young Russian troops have arrived, on a drizzly afternoon in early March, roaring through the village, churning up her vegetable garden, knocking down her favourite pear tree with their tanks. Motherfuckers. Svetlana is not usually given to swearing, but the word, and others like it, have followed the Russians like a cloud of summer midges as they fanned out across Rakovo village, hammering on steel gates with their rifle butts. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of March, 2022, 1 week to the day since the Kremlin launched its invasion of Ukraine, and the nation's collective bloodstream is still pumped full of adrenaline and outrage and a cloying, nauseating sense of disbelief. It's like being woken from an uneasy sleep to find yourself in a deeper, waking nightmare. Vast columns of Russian armour are advancing from Belarus in the north towards the capital Kyiv, from the east into the Donbass region, and from the Crimean Peninsula across southern Ukraine, looking for a way to seize the entire Black Sea coastline. Which is what has brought these Russian soldiers to Svetlana's cottage in Rakove, just outside the town of Voznesensk, with their guns and scowls and muddy boots, and this strange sense of entitlement, as if what they're doing here makes any sense at all. An armoured personnel carrier has already crashed to a halt on top of the Martsinkovsky's outside toilet, reducing it to rubble. Then a tank poked its barrel through the roof of one of three ramshackle barns. Finally, half a dozen soldiers came charging into the cluttered yard, threatening to shoot Zhulik, trampling mud onto the linoleum inside the cottage, and now threatening to shoot her. "Why should I give you my phone?" Svetlana asks the Russian soldier. One hand holds her walking stick, the other rests defiantly on her hip. Her arthritic legs wobble slightly. The soldier, a Chechen by the look of him, says they're collecting everyone's mobiles to stop them warning the Ukrainian military. "Give me your phone. We're here to liberate you, to protect you." Svetlana won't let that go. She pulls her thick beige cardigan more tightly around her waist. From whom? Fascists, Zelensky and his Nazis. She snorts in contempt. "That's nonsense. You're just destroying everything," she says, staring straight at him. Which is what prompts the soldier to raise his AK-47, push it almost politely into Svetlana's stomach, and tell her he's going to count to three.